Jeb Sharp, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Pakistan is now a crucial battleground in the fight against Islamist extremism. And it's not just American officials saying that. So does a new audio statement allegedly voiced by al-Qaeda's second-in-command. Pakistan is in the middle of a war against al-Qaeda's allies, the Taliban. This week, we're airing a series of reports on the Taliban movement. Our series is a partnership between The World and the international news site GlobalPost.com. Today, Charles Sennett explores how Pakistan has turned against a movement it once supported.
Hello and welcome to Dawn News. I'm Rosetta Stephanie.
There is a drumbeat of war behind the news coverage of Pakistan's ongoing offensive against the Taliban.
The army is to stay in the Swat Valley indefinitely as 1,305 terrorists and 105 security personnel have been killed in operations so far.
This offensive against the Taliban in the Swat Valley and in Waziristan has caused a wave of more than 2 million internally displaced people and a rising anger within the populace. Video footage of Taliban soldiers beating a girl in Swat caused widespread revulsion. On June 7th, one news story in particular grabbed the country's attention.
Our top story this afternoon, two brave policemen have laid down their lives to prevent a suicide bomber from...
The story of the policeman who accepted martyrdom, as the news broadcasters put it, serves as a modern parable for Pakistan. Two officers saved their colleagues who were kneeling to pray, while a Taliban suicide bomber tried to enter and kill them in the name of God. In an Islamabad hospital, I visited one of the injured officers, Mohammed Tariq, who lay recovering from shrapnel wounds. The two officers who stopped the bomber were his good friends.
These people have nothing to do with Islam. Killing other Muslims, that's not Islam. Muslims don't do this. They don't make orphans.
Tariq vowed to get right back to work in his police unit, Rescue 15, which has been active in counterterrorism.
I'm not afraid. None of us are afraid by all of this. And I'll go back to the Rescue 15 as soon as I'm better.
This story captured a collective resolve against the Taliban. To veteran journalist Rahimullah Yousafzai, this is a marked change from the anti-American sentiment that he believes undercut Pakistan's efforts against the militants.
They got popular public support this time. This is very different. So, you know, that is a big tide. You know, this is actually, they have turned the corner in that sense. That for the first time, the Pakistani public, in large numbers, the majority, is supporting the military operation. Most of the political parties are supporting the military operation. So I think this is something which is going to be very effective.
There's a profound dialogue underway across Pakistan about the Taliban. The country openly supported the movement when it emerged in 1994, a relationship of expediency also shared by the United States. But when the Taliban provided refuge to Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda in 1996, the U.S. soon imposed sanctions and sought to isolate the regime. But not Pakistan. After the U.S.-led coalition invaded Afghanistan in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, the Taliban was pushed across the border. U.S. military officials said it was given cover by the Pakistani military and allowed to reconstitute itself. And in the last few years, a new Pakistani Taliban was born, one that was widely supported until now. The turn against the Taliban was highlighted at this recent conference in Islamabad. Pakistan's top religious scholars, veteran government officials, and a high-ranking general all gathered here. They are the religious and military elite that for some 15 years supported the Afghan Taliban. Now, this group was publicly speaking out against the Pakistani Taliban.
I see them as bullies. They don't know the meaning of Islam.
Musarat Ahmedzeb is the daughter-in-law of the last Wali of Swat, a kind of religious monarch who once controlled the area and implemented Islamic law. She now runs an institute for war widows, of which there are many in the Swat Valley these days.
They're just a bunch of few people want to just blow themselves up, trying to bring terror. That's not Islam, for God's sake.
Another more surprising critic at the conference was Qazi Hussein Ahmed, founder of the Jamaat al-Islami party. He has long been a part of a theological establishment in Pakistan that backed the Afghan Taliban. But he is now deeply critical of the Pakistani version of that movement.
The Taliban do not have the guidance of great Islamic thinkers and scholars. They are mainly village imams. And they have not a well-thought framework of an Islamic state.
Other religious scholars have gone further and launched the Save Pakistan movement to counter what they see as the warped ideology of the Taliban in Pakistan. So why has a conservative religious establishment turned against the Taliban or the splintered factions that profess to be the Taliban?
There's total confusion in Pakistan. No one understands what Taliban is.
Imran Khan is a former Playboy cricket star turned political leader and conservative Muslim. He speaks of the confusion over how to deal with multiple Talibans, Islamists who did not lay down their arms and swat as agreed, but fought their way towards Islamabad and are now threatening the integrity of the Islamic State.
I'm afraid this is just going to go on, and I don't think Pakistan can go on like this much longer. The danger for our country is going to collapse. We are going to be what happened to Cambodia during the Vietnam War.
These are ominous words and a hint that the Pakistani elite is now doing some serious soul-searching about the kind of Islamic state that Pakistan should be. Sitting under thunderclouds in the garden of his Islamabad home, Pervez Hoodboy, a secular intellectual, suggests Pakistan has failed to see the gathering storm while the country has been taken over by a Saudi-style puritanical Islam. Hoodboy blames the Punjabi religious and military elite for courting the rural Pashtun Taliban, at first for self-serving geopolitical reasons, and then out of a lazy anti-Americanism. Finally, he says, the country has woken up.
It's very interesting to see how this change came about. There were hundreds of girls' schools which had been bombed in Swat. Nobody seemed to care. There were beheadings. Nobody seemed to care. And then finally the government gave in and said, all right, we will cave in to the Taliban demands and we will sign a peace deal with them, and now Sharia will be imposed. And then the Taliban just lost their marbles. They made such a disastrous mistake.
The mistake, he says, was when a Pakistani Taliban leader, Sufi Muhammad, went on television rejecting the constitution and democracy as anti-Islamic. It became clear the Pakistani Taliban could not be appeased and was no longer just a tool of leverage in Afghanistan, but an existential threat to the country.
Now that was going just a bit too far. Sufi Muhammad just lost the whole support for the Taliban across Pakistan. And that's the time that the army finally mustered up the courage, the public support as well, for moving against the Taliban.
But the military offensive has come at a huge price. 2 million refugees living in cramped conditions here on the edge of Peshawar can attest to that. And patience is running out. Welder Jad Mohammed Khan, here with his wife and 5 children, blames the government for their plight, not the Taliban.
The government was badly prepared, and the problems we were facing up have just doubled since we came down here. The only thing that's happening is that the hatred between people is growing out here. People are getting very frustrated out here and angry at the government.
The risk for the government of Pakistan is that the longer this offensive goes on against the Taliban, the more likely it is to lose the vital support of the people. For the world, this is Charles Sennett, Islamabad.
Our series on the Taliban continues tomorrow with the story of a girls' school in Afghanistan that symbolizes the challenges facing those who take on the Taliban.